Islamic Relief USA is a nonprofit organization that provides relief and development in a dignified manner regardless of gender, race, or religion, and works to empower individuals in their communities and give them a voice in the world.
You done now? Can we start the podcast?
Okay.
Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the What a Relief podcast. Thank you for downloading and joining us for this episode. We will get right into the episode because I believe our guest is traveling today, so we don't want to hold him up based on our past episodes. We're pretty much running 3 for 3 on our last guests for traveling and interviews. So joining me, as always, in front of me is my virtual, well, he's not virtual, but he's virtually joining me, my co-host.
This is Morden. I am virtually joining you. I'm going to be joining you physically in the same space later this week, and I'm excited about that. However, yes, I am still in Georgia.
You are in Georgia. You went all Skypey on me there for a quick second.
It happens as I get older.
It does. Old age causes Skype. How about that?
Yes, yes.
And also, Morden, joining us today for a wonderful conversation, as you know, as all of our conversations are wonderful, is singer, songwriter, poet, and writer, Almin Nusrat. How did I do on that?
You did well.
All right. Assalamu alaikum, Almin.
Walaikum salam.
So you are with us today because we want to talk to you, and we want to talk to you about, we want to introduce our audience to you, and we want to hear about some of the work you've been doing, some of your history. And then you've also toured with IRUSA for the last 2-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get into that a little bit. So first, tell us about yourself. Introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them who you are, and why you're doing that. Tell them where they can download your albums. And if I'm not mistaken, there should be a new album in there too someplace.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my name is Almin Nusrat. I'll let you mimic that pronunciation a little while from now. But my name is Almin Nusrat. I'm a singer-songwriter. I just turned 24. My birthday was yesterday. Or the day before that. I lose track of time. Happens as you get older.
Well, happy birthday to you.
Thank you. And so basically, I started singing when I was 12 and I started writing when I was around 14, heavily influenced by the study of spirituality, you know, through the scope of Islam. And that inspired a lot of my works. And so basically, when I was around middle school, I started experimenting with my own work. I created a demo tape, if you will, and produced it at home. And then when I was 18, or I think 18 or 19, I went out to California, did a record with Anas Cannon called Seconds to Sunset. Anas Cannon is a producer out in California. Great guy, great producer, very talented. After that record was released, I was recognized by some people in Dubai who turned out to be representatives of a label called Let the Change Be, which was founded by Cat Stevens, or many people know him as Yusuf Islam. And that was a big shift in, you know, my career. And so basically I went full time at that point. Then I started working on a second record and kind of working on my craft, wrote more songs, and then produced an album called River, which is my latest work, my latest album. And that's available. It's out on iTunes, Spotify, pretty much anywhere music is available online. And it's also actually just on YouTube. If you just type in Almin Nusrat, the entire album is up there. And as of now, I'm just, you know, just working on new content and I'm going to be starting touring a bit more and doing some more shows internationally. That's pretty much what I do.
That's awesome. Now, how fun is that to be able to do what you're doing? I'm sure you're enjoying your life and, you know, the way that you're being able to reach out to other people and speak to their spirituality. But I mean, how fun is that to be able to do that? Seriously.
I think every day I have to give myself this reality check, because it is like you're living your dream. To be able to live your dream is an amazing thing, and just to do what you love. But it's also challenging at times because you recognize it as your form of livelihood. It is a job, and no one likes to work sometimes, I guess. You know, it does get difficult, especially when you're traveling, and especially when you have to be away. The toughest thing is being away from family. You know, I couldn't be there when the day my niece was born, and I couldn't be there for some birthdays and stuff like that. So it doesn't tarnish the relationships, really, because I have a wonderful family and they all support me. But it does get difficult on my end. And so I think that's the most difficult part. It is amazing. It's an amazing experience just to be able to connect with people from all over the world. And I think another difficult part of it is being very critical of yourself in regards to your artistry. Just constantly critiquing your own content is difficult at times, because you always want to be better than what you are. I believe in that. And I believe that's, you know, the mark of a true artist. And so those two things kind of make it difficult, challenging at times. And it's also challenging to keep up with current trends and what's really going on out there in the music world. I like to stay true to my own identity musically. And that's kind of difficult, too, because sometimes that's not really what goes hand in hand with what's out there. I mean, there's pros to it and there's cons to it, but overall, it's absolutely a humbling experience, and I'm happy to be a part of it. I what I'm doing in this genre of spiritual music in the world of Islam is just a stepping stone to what I hope will be a bigger genre in the future, with more artists coming about and expressing themselves in fruitful ways.
Do you see it as kind of a bridge between Islam and people, especially younger people out there, something that they can relate to more? Do you see that them receiving your message and because of the music, because of the format, able to, you know, have something that actually speaks to them? You see that affecting them?
Yeah, definitely. I think what sets my music apart, I would say, I mean, there are many artists who are doing this, and I'm trying as well, is basically creating content that is relevant to youth and is relevant to people who are not used to spiritual music. I think for a lot of people, when they hear the word spiritual music, they're kind of taken aback and they get a little, you know, uneasy around it, because they don't, you know, our spirituality is a very sacred thing to us. We don't want anyone kind of messing with that or influencing it in any way. Because of that, you know, people kind of shy away from it. But the idea, my approach to it has always been just be as poetic as you can with it and be as open as you can with it. Kind of like Rumi's poetry. You know, everyone reads Rumi and everyone loves Rumi. He just has these works that go beyond time and place. That's what I think good poetry does, good songwriting does. That's what I'm trying to do with my music, you know, just create content that anyone can relate to. Even if I'm talking about God or the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you know, people can understand it as talking about their beloved or people they love and want to be near. I mean, and love is a core part of our spirituality. So it all ties together in a way. I think there's a universal language. Music is a universal language, and I think music kind connects us all. So yeah, I think it definitely builds bridges and helps us connect a bit more.
Very nice. Very nice.
I have to ask a question, and I'm going to fangirl just for a brief moment here because, well, I'm going to be honest about it because growing up in my house from a very young age, and I might probably date myself here a little bit, but growing up in my house, at that time, back when it was 1970, the Cat Steven albums were a very big thing. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you, just as again, just fangirling for a brief moment, what was it like to work with Yusuf Islam? Is he as cool as I think he is in my head? Or, you know, what was that experience like?
It was a very humbling experience for me. I think he's an amazing individual. He's one of the artists. What makes him unique and what makes him an amazing individual is that, you know, the man you see on stage the man you see performing or in interviews is genuinely the same exact person you meet in person. He doesn't put up a face. He doesn't try to live a double life or be someone else. He has owned his name. He has owned who he is in his transition and everything. And that's actually outlined in his book. He authored a book called Why I Still Carry a Guitar, which basically talks about, you know, his conversion to Islam, you know, his journey with music and how he returned to his music after being away from it, and how he kind of owned who he was, accepted who he was, and accepted the fact that, you know, he has these fans who listen to his music and connected with it in a very deep way. He kind of walked away from that in a way. And so he returns to it with meaning and with understanding of what his role is in this life. And so it's really an amazing book. And that kind of, in reading that, being one of the first people to read it, because it came out around the time when I was in Dubai, it really allowed me to see him as who he was. And so going back to the question in a nutshell, it was really amazing, you know, being in his presence and being in the presence of someone so, who knows music, who really paved the way for a lot of things. He actually, you know, one of the first individuals to do electronic music back in the 70s, and a lot of people don't know that. And there's a lot of cool things about his artistry and the fact that he knows the different genres. It's just that he's known for a specific genre. That's what he does. But that doesn't mean that he knows what's going on in all the different genres and understands music at a deeper level. And so it's really a treat to learn from him and to have him as a mentor.
Yeah, I will say studying with him, because I'm a fan of music. And, you know, obviously, when I was in high school, I dabbled a little bit. But the older I got with children and family, I kind of shied away a little bit. Mm-hmm. But again, growing up listening to that, so, and now that I have completely and utterly derailed this conversation for purely selfish reasons, I think it's a good time to take a quick break to get our IRUSA commercial in here, and we will be right back to talk about the work you do with IRUSA.
Sounds good.
Hunger isn't a faraway problem. 1 in 7 Americans live with hunger. At Islamic Relief USA, we think it's up to the other 6 to share our food with our neighbors. This summer, Islamic Relief USA is packing up food and bringing it to communities in need. As always, it's for anyone of any faith or any background. It's just one of dozens of ways Islamic Relief USA is looking out for our neighbors. To learn more, visit irusa.org. Islamic Relief USA. Working together for a better world.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. As the show opened and we were discussing, you have actually toured with IRUSA, and you've done it for the last, at least, we were talking here in the office before the interview, and it's at least 2. Is it more than 2 or is it the last 2 years?
I think 2012 was when I had initially done the first Pakistan Relief Tour, and then I did a couple others after that. And so then this was my maybe 3rd or 4th or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been touring with IRUSA for the Pakistan Relief Tour. And let's go ahead and say the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is this a cause that is close to your heart? And why is it that you work with IRUSA?
Well, first of all, IRUSA is a wonderful organization. I think the work that they do internationally is astounding. There's just something amazing to me about people coming together for, you know, a common good and just trying to better the lives of so many individuals around the world who really are in need of it. IRUSA, for this particular tour, Pakistan Relief Tour, that's close to my heart because I am South Asian. You know, a lot of people think I'm Pakistani, but my parents are actually from India. And I know India and Pakistan have their history, but, you know, that means nothing to me personally. To me, I see humanity as one. And being able, and the fact that Islamic Relief requested that I be out there on their tour, knowing this, I know that they understand this as well. And it's amazing to be able to see these families that come out and know that an Indian is there. You know, to care for the people in their country and just show love and support. And that's something that means a lot to me. It's also about just caring for people and knowing that music is something that opens up hearts, you know, because before they do fundraising on these tours, I'm able to kind of connect to their hearts a bit and through the music and through remembrance of God. And it you can notice that you're getting into people's hearts just by, you know, speaking these words or singing these words. And that really, it, once again, it's a humbling thing. And it's also a beautiful thing that I like to be a part of, being able to kind of venture in and give my heart to people and in return receive their hearts as well. So the entire experience is just this one that allows you to witness the good in humanity, the good in people, and what they're able to do when they put their minds together to help people out. And so for that reminder of, you know, what it means to be truly human and what you can do, I like to be a part of these causes. I like to be part of their tours and the work that they do.
Do you have a favorite personal experience, maybe somebody that you've actually reached out to or just an event, whether it was on tour or in the studio or just something that you had your own aha moment or oh, wow moment, or you just felt really connected and being used as an instrument yourself?
Yeah, there's one specific moment, I think. It happened a couple times, actually. I was in South Africa and I was doing a tour there. This was after my album had just finished. We finished recording and we decided that, you know, the first tour that we do, we wanted to do something that was, in the eyes of God, a good thing, a charitable thing. And so we went on this little tour in South Africa and did a concert there. And we visited these townships and underprivileged kids. And there were orphans or disenfranchised youth, and some were born with AIDS, some were orphans, and they came together. These are Muslims, and a majority of them actually non-Muslims. And so they were there at one of the performances, and I was singing a song about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And, you know, the idea of the song was about how much he loved us and prayed for us and cared for humanity. You know, the way his story goes is that he was actually an orphan. And that's one of the miracles about him, is that he was an orphan and he turned out to be who he is, you know, one of the most revered people on the face of this earth. You know, so I was singing about that, and I noticed that there was a little girl, an orphan, who perhaps had some kind of disease or was just, who didn't have that much longer to live. I don't know her whole story. You know, she started crying during the song, and I saw her from the stage because she was impacted, and she related the story of the Prophet, peace be upon him, to her own story, and it gave her the sense of hope that despite her conditions, despite the fact that the world seems to have turned its back on parts of humanity or people, that she still has this hope that maybe things will be okay, or even if she doesn't make it, that she'll be safe in the hands of God, believing in God's promise. And I think that really impacted me. I at that day, I saw myself as a vehicle to give people messages of hope and peace. And I also saw myself as kind of the next generation of artists who kind of continue the work that Yusuf Islam always wanted to do, in terms of just creating content and music that people relate to on a variety, on a bunch of different levels. And that was really significant. I think another story would be one when I was on a pilgrimage to Mecca. I had met a family. There was this little girl who recognized me from one of my performances in Canada, and she saw me, and I introduced myself to the parents, and it was really nice exchange. And then and then the parents told me that she actually had cancer when she was a child, and she had just had, the parents and the daughter had gone through this entire journey of beating cancer. And that little girl who survived, who was a fighter, who survived that entire thing, the entire journey, was a fan of my work. And she knew my lyrics, and she was just, it was just an amazing experience to know that my words, or the words from my heart that I really wanted to help someone with, that were talking about my own experiences, went off and just reached the ears of an individual I knew nothing about, who was going through these trials. And those two experiences, I think, really stand out to me the most.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Do you have any advice for anybody, up and coming musicians, who may want to go in the same direction as you are, but not sure if they can do that as a Muslim or, you know, in what ways they can use, you know, their gifts?
I know that there's, you know, disagreement among Muslim scholars about the use of musical instruments. And I think that usually gets in the way of people pursuing music in some situations, the arts in general. I've obviously went through that whole thing, and I've come across scholars who do approve of it, who are very accepting of it, who are completely in line with the faith. And it just comes down to the fact that there's a difference of opinion in that matter. Moving on from that, you have to be true to yourself. You know, you cannot try to imitate someone and expect you to get your own recognition from that or to be genuine, because people won't see you as being genuine. I think it's important to, and it's important to be genuine if you're trying to reach hearts. You can't put on a mask. Being yourself, being true to your art and the way that you express yourself, and always being open to criticism and critique so that you can better yourself, to become better at what you do. Always try to be better at what you do. Don't ever for an instant think that you're okay where you are. Because, you know, despite me touring, despite me singing, you know, at every turn I've come across someone influential who has taught me so much. Through those experiences, I realized how important it is to continue learning and continue developing in hopes of being someone better. Definitely, I think for writers, people who like to write, I would say to read a lot. All the literature that you find interest in, Old English, and read. Indulge yourself in the works, the masterful works of others from the past and present. It'll definitely influence you, but it'll help you figure out who you are. And that, I mean, I would go as far as saying that goes beyond just reading. I think that goes to, you know, listening to other people's music and seeing other people's artwork and all these things. You know, it allows you to witness what souls can do, and then allows you to reflect upon what your own soul can do. And once you figure that out, then you'll start creating content that's genuinely you, and people will relate to that, because I truly believe that when you are being true to yourself and you're creating music that is keeping God in mind, that's spiritual, hearts are connected in a way that we don't quite understand, and they will come around and they will support you.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here. Just because, mm-hmm. A, I am really, really lazy, and B, I am not a Quranic scholar. Mm-hmm. I know, be shocked, right? So, now, I know, because I've heard, because in my capacity in life, I've obviously heard that and I've seen that, you know, there is some difference of opinion about musical instruments. Mm-hmm. But whereas I know that is probably the first time that Morden has heard that, can you give us, and it may be some of our people that download may not be Muslim and they may not know the concept behind that. So can you give us a Reader's Digest version of why some people feel that way? Mm-hmm. You don't necessarily have to defend their point of view, but at least a Reader's Digest version of that point of view. And like I said, I'm lazy, that way I don't have to explain it to Morden, because you just did.
Basically, once again, you could edit this out. You could say, do whatever you want to with this, but because obviously I'm not qualified to speak. I'm not a scholar. From what I've been taught from scholars and from what I understand, I mean, this discussion could go on for a while, so excuse me if I go over my time a little bit. But
you're good. You know, don't worry.
Okay. The goal in Islam is this idea that the belief is simple, that there's one God who created everything and who is everlasting, who is beyond anything we understand. And then he has this prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who he sent as the final messenger. And then there are prophets sent before him, like Jesus, Noah, Abraham, and Moses, peace be upon them all. And so our goal in Islam is to basically return to this pure state of ourselves in which we can submit to God and God alone, and basically be his servants on earth and carry out and do good. In regards to music, some people would say that music is incredibly powerful. That's a fact. And what you'll find even in the Muslim world is that Muslims in the past have mastered music, have written texts about music, and they could play music to make you laugh and play music to make you cry, like just by changing the way they play. And we understand this because, you know, we listen to songs all the time, and there's songs that make us laugh, and there's songs that make us cry, and there's songs that get us excited, and there's songs that put us down. And so It's a very powerful thing. The reason why some people are very wary of music, I wouldn't say that they're against it or whatever it is. I think they're very wary of it because they understand that whatever they hear and whatever they see has direct access to their soul and direct access to their heart. So if you're listening to, so if an individual is listening to music that is coupled with lyrics that are harsh, or if that music, you know, is in an environment that's not good for the soul, all those sights and sounds ultimately impact the soul. Another big reason for the impermissibility of it, some would argue, is because, you know, 1400 years ago, the only place that you can listen to music was basically typically a place where there was be other things happening that you shouldn't be taking part of. And so for that reason, people, music had then been associated with those actions. And then it was kind of in a bubble. They didn't have, you know, a CD that you can just pop it and listen to in your car when you're not really doing anything.
What?
So mind blowing, but yeah. So, you know, that's basically what it is. And so basically just thinking about it very briefly, it's easy to understand how those were arguments of the past, and where we are now is a different place, a different world. And music is obviously something that does impact people. And I would argue that to anyone who does say that to me, the fact that people have come up to me, young teenagers and even adults, who say, I was kind of lost in my spirituality, and after listening to music, I started to pray again, or I started to do this again. And so to me, I cannot be like, oh, well, that's not right. You know, that doesn't make sense. It absolutely does make sense. And it's not just now that this is happening. It's been done throughout history. Islamic civilization had been great in the sciences and in music and the arts. And so it's just, you'll always have differences of opinion on things, and that's just reality. People interpret it in however they will.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Morden, do you have any final questions?
No, I think that was great. Well, actually, yeah, what's next for you? Where do you go from here?
Well, I was thinking about eating, but I'm fasting, so I guess that's not going to happen.
Well, later tonight, maybe.
Yeah, maybe later tonight. No, but in all seriousness, there's actually a lot of things planned. You know, I'm going to be working on some content and remixing content and adding some South Asian flavor to some of my existing works, because I haven't tapped into that yet. I haven't sung in Urdu, in other languages, that are familiar to the South Asian people. And it's a deep part of me. I grew up on Bollywood as well as Hollywood. So, you know, I have to find this balance in my music as well. That'll be exciting. And then I'm going to be doing shows and touring a bit, mostly, most likely in places like the UK and maybe Turkey and some other places like that around there.
And where can people find you or find your music?
My music can be found online. If you just type in Alman Nusrat on YouTube, people will probably be like, Alman, what? How do you spell that? What? So, you know, so it's actually, I'm sure it'll be listed somewhere, the name. So once you pick that up, it's on YouTube. The album is called River, which is an English word, which is easy to spell. And so the album's called River. And mostly, and for anyone who's wondering, most of the songs are in English. There are some words that are in Arabic, which are kind of spiritual litanies or, you know, mantras and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's in English and kind of relatable to as many people as it can be relatable to. Yeah, so it's all online.
Alman, do you have any final thoughts that we didn't ask you about that we should have?
The interviews like this, they're usually just done pretty live, if you will. Nothing was rehearsed. Nothing was thought about before. So if there was anything I said that was wrong, or if there was anything that I said on behalf of the faith that was considered wrong or anything like that, I ask the listeners to forgive me for that. And for people outside of the faith, I welcome you to exhibit what the religion has to offer. I'm sure, and all religions teach beautiful things, and I'm excited to learn about other religions as well. Yeah, this is just who I am, and I'm happy to be here. I want to thank Islamic Relief for having me on their tours, and I want to thank you guys for being an awesome team and conducting this podcast.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you very much. And with that, we will let you get on with your day. For the What a Relief podcast, I am Carl, and
this is Morden.
And Alman, thank you for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for downloading. And until next time, Assalamu alaikum.